your attention.
Make some noise!
This is
Swerve.
Motivating teens to take a positive route.
Let's get rerouted.
You send again with your man Frank for Wills.
Everybody go.
You're now listening to the sounds of
Swerve.
It's about to go down.
What's good, Swerve Nation? What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the gateway to the hottest music in Wheel Talk Radio. This is your man, Frank for Wills, and while I got you here for Swerve, we are going to do that for the next 2 hours, and that is playing nothing but the hottest music and having real conversation. And today, we're going to have a great conversation. I'm talking to a special guest, Rashida McKenzie. She is from Jacksonville, Florida, and she is an advocate. She talks about human trafficking, sex trafficking, and this is a topic you may not really hear too much about in your church, more so than on the outside of it, different agencies and organizations, TV. But she's going to give us some great information as to what that industry is about, signs to look for around your community. You know, it is all around us. The city that I'm from, or that I spent most of my time in Jacksonville, Florida, the state of Florida, I didn't know this until I researched this, is ranked number 3 in human trafficking, sex trafficking. And so that really surprised me, but there is a reason why it's ranked number 3. And she's going to talk about that in her interview with us tonight. So I do encourage you to stick around, enjoy the music, enjoy the sounds, but most of all, get ready to get plugged in to this great information coming from my friend here, Rashida McKenzie. And she's going to be here with us in about 15 minutes, but we're going to step aside and get into some hot music. Don't go nowhere. Don't touch that dial. This is your man, Frank for Reals. Elsewhere. What's good, Swerve Nation? Welcome back, everybody, to the gateway to the hottest music and Wheel Talk Radio. This is your man, Frank for Reals, and live on the line with me, I have a special guest, and we're going to be talking tonight about sex trafficking, and some I've heard it called human trafficking, and she's going to break all of that down. But before we get into all of that information, Swerve Nation, please may welcome my special guest, Rashida McKenzie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me. And I'm really excited to be here to talk about something that a lot of people don't have a lot of awareness about, and that is human trafficking, what it is not, and, you know, what do we need to know about it?
Yeah, and I'm excited to get to that conversation as well. Before we do that, though, let some people in on you, who you are, what some fun things about yourself. I think you're currently living in Jacksonville, Florida. So just open up a little bit and just talk a little bit about that.
Well, again, my name is Rashida. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. I was actually born in Pensacola, Florida. I'm a Navy brat, moved around a lot. My dad retired here when I was a teenager. That's how we ended up in Jacksonville. I myself joined the military right out of high school and did a few years in the Army and came back home to Jacksonville where I started my life. Just started my work life, so to speak. Came home, got a job, went to school. I've been working with United Healthcare for over 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in healthcare, worn a lot of different hats in that particular arena. Mm-hmm. I also do a lot with my church here, Impact Church here in Jacksonville.
Okay.
I'm currently the human trafficking compassion area leader for my church. So I feed a lot of human trafficking information to our members so that they can spread awareness and have awareness as well. Some things that I like to enjoy when I'm not working and doing things for my church, I'm actually a plant mom. I have over 30 plants in my home.
So
I take care of them. Those are my children.
So that's what they call y'all, a plant mom?
I'm a plant mom. It's a thing.
That's cool.
Look it up.
I believe you. I just didn't know there was like an actual title for that.
Yes.
So you have a green thumb.
I do. I grow things. I like to watch things grow.
Man, that's dope.
And I'm very good at it.
That's good. What other things do you enjoy doing? Are you a football fan, being in a football city? Do you follow any of those things or anything?
Oh, I'm definitely a Jaguar fan all day.
I didn't want to say Jaguars.
Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's say it. I'm in Duval County. So, yeah, I'm going to represent my home team. I'm planning on going to some games this season. Mm-hmm. Other fun things I do, I'm 46 years old now,
okay.
So I'm very seasoned.
Right.
And I've had a very full life thus far.
Okay.
And I like to be at home. I love my peace.
That's good.
I love quiet. Yeah. I like to be home.
Absolutely.
I like, you know, just doing nothing but just being at home and enjoying my space.
That's good. There's nothing. Absolutely
nothing better. With
that. That's right. So now, what sparked your interest in talking about? And I heard you say human trafficking. So, and if you can break down the difference in that. But what sparked your interest in getting into that?
So my interest in human trafficking started when I was in Bible college. I decided to go to Bible college in 2016, and part of one of our assignments was to do a group project. So we had to select a project that would be something that would either be giving to the community or spreading some type of awareness or something in that area. And I chose human trafficking. And we did get a list to choose from. So human trafficking is something that I chose for our group. And as I was looking at the actual definition of human trafficking, I found out that there was so much that I didn't know.
Okay.
And the more of a deep dive that I took, the more I realized I didn't even know this was happening. And if I didn't know, you know, what do other people know?
Exactly.
This is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, and I was just scratching the surface lightly. And a lot of people want to know, what is the difference between human trafficking and sex trafficking? Mm-hmm. Isn't it the same thing? Yes and no.
Okay.
So the difference between the two, what I found out is sex trafficking is human trafficking for the purpose of sexual exploitation. So you are human trafficked, and if you're involved in sex trafficking, they're using you as a human for sexual exploitation.
Okay.
So human trafficking, which is also called trafficking in persons, it's a form of modern day slavery involving the illegal transport of individuals by force or deception. So there's a difference. You're human trafficked, and then you're either sex trafficked, you're labor trafficked, or other types of trafficking that these type of traffickers will use you for.
Okay, and so your interest was more towards, and again, we just want to be grammatically correct, in human trafficking. Do you find where those lines blur? Do you find yourself getting involved or finding an interest in one of the other things? Does it seem like they kind of cross-connect in some kind of way?
Well, when it comes to trafficking, period, it's all by force and coercion. Nobody is trafficked because they're giving consent. But where it starts to really go left is the sex trafficking, because there's sex trafficking of adults, and then once that victim is younger than 18, then it becomes something else called child sex trafficking.
Okay.
So there's like different levels to it, and the sex trafficking, because it's for the purpose of sexual exploitation, they're using these young men and women, adults and children, over and over and over again.
Wow.
The sex trafficking industry is almost a billion-dollar industry. Mm-hmm. It almost makes more money than the selling of guns and drugs, because human beings can be used over and over and over again.
I see.
You can buy a human for a price and make a huge profit off of them for years,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because they can continue to be used. So sex trafficking, human trafficking, any form of trafficking is horrible. Sex trafficking, I guess, for me, because I have seen it before, I guess that is the lane that I have been traveling in, you know, as far as raising awareness, because who wants to be held against their will? And then basically they're being raped over and over again,
right,
day in and day out for profit.
Now, you mentioned that a person could be used over and over again. But now, what happens if that person gets sick? Or is there a situation where they deem that person is not even useful anymore? And then what, do they throw them away and then go look for another body?
You're no longer useful to a trafficker, mm-hmm. then either they're going to dispose of you. They dispose might let you go.
Mm-hmm.
They might kill you. They might let you run away. But if they have no more use for you,
right,
then that's exactly what they're going to do. What they're going to do to you, I can't say yay or nay, but it's nothing good. I know that I have heard a mother share her testimony about her daughter being sex trafficked. Mm-hmm. She actually was able to run away, come and get help, get clean and off of drugs. But after a while, because the therapy, the intense therapy from the mental and emotional and sexual abuse, you know, it runs so deep and they need that type of therapy. She wasn't getting it. She ended up going back to her trafficker, and that's where she ended up dying.
That's something that we don't think about, like the therapy or the care after that. And that's even if a person gets free, you know, from that life. But when and if they do, there is that aftercare. But then how does that even look? And then you're saying that she was she felt better being back there. That's almost like people coming out of jail and being institutionalized. You know, they can't blend in with society. And they say they get better meals, or they do better inside the prison than they do outside. So, wow. Well, look, we're going to take a break right here, but we're going to come back with more from you. But is there a contact information or any information that you can share where people can go to get more information about that, or to either partner with you for any calls?
Yes, I actually have a social media. Social media is my main source of putting out information right now at the moment, just trying to grow that so that I can continue to spread awareness. So it is inhumantrafficking_now. And again, that's inhumantrafficking_now. If you want to reach out to me to connect with me, you can email me at SheetaMcKenzie@gmail.com. Again, that's SheetaMcKenzie@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. So look, we're going to be back in just a few minutes. Stay locked and loaded. This is your man, Frank for Wills. Y'all swerve. What's good, Swerve Nation? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Swerve Teen Talk Radio, the gateway to the hottest music and real talk radio. This is your man, Frank for Wills, and live on the line with me, I have Rashida McKenzie, and we are talking all about human trafficking, and she is breaking it down for us right now. And so we want to keep the conversation going with that. And so my next question to you is, how can individuals report suspected acts of sex trafficking? Now, I saw a YouTube clip about a year ago, and it was like an older gentleman, and he was just watching a young girl walking in the parking lot, and the older guy later assaulted, you know, or came up to and approached the young lady. But the guy who was watching them ended up like beating his behind, like just really, you know, putting his foot off in him. But I was thinking, like, what else could somebody do? You know, you want to report it? Do you defend that person? You know, so that may be an extreme situation. But normally, if a person is suspecting that, then what's the best way that they can report it?
Well, the best thing to do, and I've been in a situation where I've had to report it. One thing you cannot do is just physically go and get involved, because we people are so unaware of how controlling that arena is. You don't want to step in there and try to get involved. You could get yourself hurt. You can get the person you're trying to save hurt. So the best thing for you to do is to report it to the human trafficking hotline. There's a hotline and a website called the National Human Trafficking Hotline. It's humantraffickinghotline.org, and it tells you exactly what to do to report it. You can call 911 about it, or you can call the hotline that's on the website, and you can ask questions. It's completely confidential. You can talk to someone. They can ask you all the questions that they need to ask so that they can get a better idea of what you're trying to report, to let you know yay or nay. Right. You know, so I have had to call that number, that 800 number, to ask questions. Hey, is this, you know, this mother called me because she's seen my Instagram. Wow. And she wanted to know if what's happening with her daughter is what's actually happening. Is this a trafficking situation? So in the conversation that I had, the young lady was like, exactly what's going on. And she assigned a case number, and she had the mother call in, and everything was confidential after that. I wasn't, you know, involved in that. But if you are suspecting it, contact somebody so that you can talk it out with them, so they can give you some more insight on what's happening. And they will look into it and investigate it if they do believe that it's an issue with human trafficking.
Right. Okay. Now, from a church and a spiritual standpoint, because I understand that you are actually invested in your church, working, I guess we would call it a ministry of sort in your church. But I do know some churches won't touch things like this. It may be for reasons of the numbers. They want to continue getting their tithe up, whatever. I know quite a few things and reasons why churches don't really get their hands dirty with things like this. But what can the church do, or what can the body of Christ do better, or what should we be doing?
When it comes to the church, because human trafficking, sex trafficking is a very sensitive subject, And even in my own church, when we did talk about it, there are people who have trauma and PTSDs that they have never talked about. And just hearing about it sends them into a plethora of emotions about what happened to them. So we have to tread lightly. We have to be very careful with the stuff that we're sharing or showing.
Okay.
So that, you know, we have to be sensitive to the congregation, because we don't know what they're going through.
Right.
Or anything of that nature. So what the church can do is we can always feed information. There's always the signs of trafficking. Mm-hmm. There's always awareness and just to understand who to go to, who to call. What does it look like? How do I pray? You know, there are, if you don't know what to do, we can always pray. We can pray for these traffickers to be exposed. We can pray for these children to be found. These children are not just disappearing out of thin air.
Exactly.
These children are not dead. Mm-hmm. I do believe that a majority of these missing children are hidden somewhere.
Right.
And they're not just disappearing. So we just need to really be praying and asking God to open the door, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We really need to expose what's happening in the country, because human trafficking is global, and I don't feel like it's allowed enough
in the
community.
Absolutely. And so, speaking about exposure, who are these traffickers? You know, who are their victims?
The victims are the vulnerable population. And the crazy thing about it is people think that it's only certain types of people that can be trafficked. That's very far from the truth. Mm-hmm. Anybody can be subject to human trafficking, adults, young people, children. And there's no single profile of a trafficking victim, because victims of human trafficking can be anybody. It's regardless of race, color, nationality, disability, religion, age, gender, sexual orientation, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So none of those things are a factor if a trafficker wants you. And the type of vulnerable population that I'm talking about are the children who are runaways, homeless youth, unaccompanied children, young people that are in and out of the juvenile justice system, children or young people or adults even who don't have a lawful immigration status in the United States, who are subject to labor trafficking, and Black people and other people of color. And because I'm Black, I'm a person of color, so of course that hits home to me, because our population is high on the percentage of being trafficked. And why is that in our community, that it's more little Black girls and young Black boys that are being trafficked at a high rate? Why is that? Are we not paying attention? You know, that bothers me, and it should bother our entire community.
Exactly. And so who are the traffickers? You know, because I've done my study on some, and I saw an interesting study about Florida, I think being number three. During a specific time in Jacksonville, there was a huge festival of some sort going on. And it came to pass that the traffickers were identified as a certain type of people. So if you can go into that, like, who are the traffickers? What do they look like? Who are those people?
So I can give you three different types that are very common. You have pimps. We call them pimps. That's like the general term. But when people hear the word pimp, they're thinking prostitution. You know, prostitutes have pimps. It's deeper than that. It could be as light as that, or it could be way deeper than that. But the different types of pimps are gorilla pimps. I don't know if people have heard of gorilla pimps. They're typically portrayed in movies, but they are a real thing.
Okay.
And these type of people, these type of pimps, they have the jewelry, the cars, the clothes. They show off their money. You know, they are more likely to use force and abuse to control victims. So they're the more aggressive type. If you have a gorilla pimp, that is the worst type of pimp that you can have. The second type is not so, it's common. It's very common. They're very smart. They're called Romeo or boyfriends or lover boys. So these types, you would not even notice. You could date one. A woman could date one and not know. But what they are, they're way more subtle. A Romeo pimp does not mind taking their time to gain control. They'll refer to the person as their significant other. They capitalize on the need to feel loved, seen, and desired. So they feed all of those things. It's called boyfriending. So a Romeo pimp will literally boyfriend a woman and give them false feelings and promises, filling voids and vulnerabilities, So this particular type of pimping, it inspires loyalty from the victim, and it ends up in physical violence because it's a lot of psychological manipulation. It just ends badly. The last one is, they call it a CEO type of pimp, and you wouldn't hear this term in the streets, but what it is these are the type of, they're entrepreneurs of the sex trade. They keep the books, they engage in legal and illegal activities. These type of pimps are the more likely to have victims in porn.
And so these traffickers, and I just want to ask you, you know, specifically, they can be your attorney. They could be your doctors, your lawyers, school teachers.
Nail salons, hair salons. Mm-hmm. Massages, massage parlors, businesses, right, that will use these type of victims to work for them.
Right. Okay. And I wanted to say that because I know that in general, there's certain people of certain, you know, stature and status that we may look past because of their employment or because,
right,
of their significance, whatever.
Exactly.
And they could also use that as some type of platform to cover, as a cover up.
Yeah.
You know, for that as well. So, and I want to also ask you, what if a person consent to trafficking? I'm not sure if I heard you say that a person can't consent, but is it possible to do people consent to being trafficking? Have you heard of that scenario? I wouldn't imagine that. I would hope not. But
no, I've never heard of a person saying that they consent to being trafficked. It's more along the lines of, let's just say a pimp comes across a young lady in the streets. Women have been prostituting on the corners for years. And you could, you know, a young man could, or a pimp could pick one of these women up and say, hey, I want to take care of you. You know, what do you need? So she's giving consent to this man to be able to take care of her. But when she's ready to leave and she can't leave him, it totally becomes non-consensual after that, because now she's being held against her will. So it's never a situation when it comes to trafficking that, hey, I went with him willingly, but when I wanted to leave, I was trapped. So it may start out one way, but it definitely doesn't end up that way.
I got you. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break right here. This is some really good information, and I do appreciate you taking your time to share this information with us. And so when we come back, we have some more great questions we want to ask you. There's more information that we need to know. So again, everybody, we're talking to Rashida McKenzie, and we're going to be right back. So stay locked and loaded. This is your man, Frank for Wills. Y'all swear. And welcome back, everybody. Swerve Teen Talk Radio, the gateway to the hottest music and real talk radio. Live on the phone with me, I have my guest again, Rashida McKenzie. And thank you again for taking time to swerve with us.
Thank you. No problem at all. And there's this whole situation is so much deeper than what we're discussing today. We're barely even tapping the surface of it. There's so much more we could talk about. There's movies, there's documentaries. If you wanted to go and look into it yourself, just so that you could educate yourself, there's so much information out there. Netflix, Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Just search human trafficking, and there's so much information that'll come up for you.
Yeah. Okay, now we want to get our hands a little dirtier here, because there's a lot of people I know that there's men and women in the body of Christ that's behind the scenes, they're addicted to pornography. And the more I was one that was addicted to pornography, and the more I began to learn, well, the more I fell in love with Christ, you know, that's where that addiction faded away. But then I began to do some more research about the porn industry. And so a question to you is, how does the porn industry influence sex and human trafficking, if it has any influence at all?
They have very strong links. And the sad truth about it is porn and sex trafficking go hand in hand. Even though sex trafficking industry is worth $3 billion in excess a year, pornography is a major source of sex trafficking. Mm. And I say that because women are lured in, coerced, and forced to do sex acts that they never agreed to do. Mm-hmm. And in order for them to do these things on camera, they're given drugs and alcohol to get them through hardcore scenes.
Okay.
So the porn industry is modern day slavery, basically, and sex traffickers use pornography in so many different ways. They train these women and these men to do sex acts that they'll be forced to perform.
Yeah.
And once they make these videos, these victims are placed on porn sites, and these videos are sold and distributed to pornographic film industries on the internet and other outlets. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's vitally important that, not even with pornography, but I think anything, if you're addicted to anything, I think further investigate, you know, what is this linked to? You know, it always seemingly is bigger than just your world, but you only know what you're available to or what you avail yourself mm-hmm. to. And so it really convicted me a lot more once I began to understand how deep, you know, this industry was and what it's supporting, what's going on behind that. And so now there's something else I researched, and I want to see if you can give us some more information about this. And it was the four P's I came across. It was prevention, protection, prosecution, and partnerships. And so what prevent methods can you suggest? And I think this is important for those working moms and dads who mm-hmm. they work all the time and they just kind of, you know, leave their kids at home, or they shoot these pacifiers to their kids, but they're never there. They're not involved. So what prevent methods can you suggest or recommend?
Well, first, you would want to understand the signs and behaviors of victims. And you just want to be able to pay attention. When you're around children, especially, you know, parents, you have children, you have teenagers who are on these apps. Mm-hmm. These apps are full of predators. Basically, I would say 80% of the apps that these teenagers and young people are using have predators behind them. And when it comes to paying attention to our youth, you want to make sure that these young people are children that are getting disconnected from family and friends. You know, have they stopped coming to school? Have they had a sudden change in behavior? Do you know if this young person, this teenager is really promiscuous all of a sudden? You know, are they showing signs of mental or physical abuse? Do they have bruises? Are they always fearful? Do they act like they're in a controlled environment? These are things that we don't even know to be paying attention to, because it's not like there's any talk of human trafficking in the signs that you know what to look for. Right. We could walk past it every day and not know, because we don't have the awareness.
Wow.
So when we see these things, it doesn't mean that it is trafficking, but it doesn't mean that it is not either.
Good.
The reason why we have to be paying attention. We have to ask questions. We may even have to ask these teenagers or these, you know, our coworker who might look like something's going on. We need to just, sometimes you just have to get into people's business.
That's
I know that we live in a place of, you know, people need to mind their own business. Sometimes we do need to mind business so that we can see if people are safe.
So true.
When it comes to things like awareness and, you know, how do we report it? We just need to know what it is. What does it look like?
Yeah.
So that we can know what to do. We need to start there.
Okay. Okay. And then as far as protection goes, what governmental or non-governmental agencies protect against trafficking?
Well, we do have agencies. A lot of them are really highly sensitive. When they go in to rescue a victim, they take them into a home where they can be safe, and they start immediate therapy and drug rehab. A lot of these places are very, they don't tell you where they are. A lot of like domestic shelters where women, battered women go to.
Okay.
So they don't give you a lot of information on where they are, but they're going to take you somewhere where you can be safe. If some of the men and women have been arrested in a bus, then they find out that they've been trafficked, then these organizations will come to the jail and pick them up and take them somewhere safe. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of organizations in the community that do help these victims once they come off the street.
Okay.
And they'll help them get back into the workforce and get jobs and everything, just to try to rebuild their life. One of them that I'm really connected with in Jacksonville, Florida, they're called Rethreaded. Mm. And Rethreaded, they actually employ victims, I'm sorry, survivors. I'm not going to call them victims. They employ survivors of sex trafficking.
And that's one that's in Jacksonville?
Yes, they're in Jacksonville, Florida. They actually have a gift shop in Springfield. They sell a lot of great things. The airline industry donates the leather seat covers to them when they replace them. They strip this leather down and they make wallets and purses. They have a lot of stuff. And if you ever want to go to this gift shop. It's in Springfield. It's called ReThreaded. They have a website as well. And all your proceeds go to pay salaries, pay for therapy, and pay for the needs of these survivors of human trafficking.
Okay.
They're one of the best organizations in the city.
Love it. Okay, so that's prevention. We talked about protection. And now prosecution. And I think that's important because I think some of these jokers feel like they're untouchable, invincible. Mm-hmm. Some just really don't care. Excuse me. Some just don't care. But can you speak into the prosecution and what does that look like for traffickers?
What it looks like in my experience with the prosecution of sex traffickers, a lot of it, it depends on the testimonies of the survivors. And in my experience, there have been survivors that I have talked to who were not willing to tell.
Okay.
Out of fear. Mm. But once they are prosecuted, they're, and I can't speak on, you know, that level of how much time they're getting. However, once they do get convicted of sex trafficking, it is a major crime. They do go away and do some serious time for it. They don't just release these people back out on the street.
Okay.
But the problem is a lot of these women are so manipulated and so fearful that they don't even want to testify against some of these traffickers, so they're still able to go back out in the street.
Wow. So they, I'm sure they spend a lot of time instilling a lot of fear into them for reasons.
Yes, it's a lot of mind manipulation. Uh-huh. It's a lot of manipulation. People don't understand, like, why can't they just leave?
Yeah,
if it was that simple, then they would have.
They would. Yep, absolutely. Okay, and so also, and I think you mentioned this in earlier in our conversations, but speaking to the benefit of society partnering, and I think this is important for community and this is important for churches, what about the partnerships that can be formed against this?
The partnerships that can be formed in a community, we have A21. That is an organization that is national. Every year they do a human trafficking walk for freedom in any city that is willing to host. And what this does, it's a silent walk that spreads awareness in the community for human trafficking. There are organizations, you just have to look for them. And that's the thing about it. They're not advertised.
Right.
If you're wanting to get involved in something to spread awareness for human trafficking, go on Google, go on Eventbrite and search for what's going on in your city.
Okay.
And partner with these people. Like ReThreaded is always looking for volunteers to come in and strip their leather.
Okay.
And then you have A21, who is always looking for people to host a human trafficking walk. You could host one on your own. BlueCampaign.gov, they have an amazing website. BlueCampaign.gov has free resources for you to download. They'll even mail you posters and information, pamphlets about human trafficking for free. You don't even have to pay for shipping. And you can take a human trafficking certification online.
Yeah.
It costs you nothing because they want people to know about it. So it's out there for you.
Yeah. And I know a lot of times with when it comes to like churches and ministry, sadly to say, many people won't get involved in things like this because this is the ugly side of ministry. You know, it's not the pulpit kind of ministry.
Yeah.
So, but you've given a lot of information, some great information. And so we don't want anyone to miss out on anything. So, again, I think you gave a website where they can go, but just if you can reiterate that site one more time, and then we're going to take a break.
It's called bluecampaign.gov. And this particular website is Homeland Security, mm-hmm. and it's for campaigning. It's a campaign called One Voice, One Mission to End Human Trafficking, and it is bluecampaign.gov. It gives you everything you need to know about trafficking.
Okay. Well, look, everybody, stay locked and loaded. We're going to come right back and close this interview out, but we don't want you to miss these final points that she's going to give. And again, I'm talking to Rashida McKenzie. We're talking all about sex and human trafficking, and this is your man, Frank For Reals. Stay right there. Y'all swear. What's good, Swerve Nation? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. This is the last few minutes of Swerve Teen Talk Radio. And live on the line with me again, I have my special guest, Rashida McKenzie. And again, thank you so much for taking time and talking about this sensitive topic, this ugly topic, but necessary topic. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And so wrapping things up, if there's anything that we have not shared or that you want to share from your heart, take these last few minutes and go ahead and do so now.
Okay. Well, there's so many things that we just don't have time to share. This would need to be like a 2-hour long conversation. Mm-hmm. However, I do want to touch on two things. And the fact that, you know, I live in Florida, and Florida is number 3 in trafficking, in sex and human trafficking. And people are like, why is it so high in Florida? Why? And that is because Florida has a very large agricultural economy and a large immigrant population. Not only that, we have South Beach, Miami, we have Orlando, we have a lot of highways that run through Florida.
Okay.
So there are a lot of places for sex trafficking and human trafficking to happen in this particular state. Mm-hmm. It's a prime environment for forced labor here, particularly in the agricultural industries.
Okay.
So when it comes to Florida, we are ranked number 3, and we have things like the Florida-Georgia game. What people don't know is these Super Bowl, Florida-Georgia game, these big football games that we have, they are a sex traffickers holiday.
Wow.
So they buy and sell people during these big events. Spring break down in Miami Beach, you know, all of these popular destinations, Disney World, where people are coming in and out of the country, that is a high time for traffickers to, you know, do business or bring people in and out of the city. So that is the reason why Florida is number 3. That's very high. That's very high on the list. And the last thing that I want to touch on is the relationship between sex trafficking and pornography, because people think it's innocent. You're just watching people, you know, have sex on camera, but it's way deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's a demand for pornography, especially pornography that is extreme, abusive, or degrading,
mm-hmm.
the porn industry is going to continue to meet that demand.
Right.
They're going to continue to meet that demand. There's no one governing pornography.
Mm-hmm.
So consider before consuming it so that you can stop the demand for sex trafficking.
Right.
And I hope that if that is an issue that you're struggling with, that this will help you to see it completely differently.
Yeah.
So that you'll think about it. Maybe this young woman or this young man that I'm watching is, you know, they're being forced against their will to act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I want people to know. There's so many other things that we could talk about today. But again, you can educate yourselves on the website, bootcampaign.gov. You can look into Rethreaded.
Mm-hmm.
You can look on Netflix and Prime. Just search human trafficking. It would bring up countless movies and documentaries so that you can educate yourself. Because the more we know, the more we can do.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I know a lot of people who's not spiritual, who may not believe in praying to God. I've heard, you know, those who has come out of that industry, the porn industry, when they became aware of the abuse and what was going on behind the camera, that alone was enough. You know, if you have a heart, you know, that was enough to say, you know, I can no longer, you know, support this or invest into this, you know. So whether you believe in God or not, you know, just have a heart, have some, you know, just the ability to go out and research, look, listen, and see what's going on around you. You mentioned something earlier just about being aware. And I'm big on parents and family and community and the conversation. And parents is really getting into the lives and the space of their teens. And like you said something earlier about some of the social apps. There's a bigger, deeper void behind those apps, reasonings behind those apps and why they're created. It leads to to something deeper.
So, right, and that's true. Look, because there's a lot of traffickers, predators that are behind these apps. They're disguising themselves as teenagers.
Yeah, wow.
And they're talking to our children.
That's so scary when you think about that. That is so scary. Well, look, this is a great conversation. There's a lot more, like you said, to be said about this. But I would encourage the listener, you know, after this episode airs, it's going to be podcasted. So you have the chance to go back and play it again. But if anyone wants more information, if they want to connect with you, maybe have you speak with their congregation, their teens or whatever, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
You can email me. Sheeta McKenzie, that's SHEEDAMCKENZIE, all one word, at gmail.com. You can reach out to me on Instagram at inhumantrafficking_now. Or you can reach out to Anthony. He could tell you how to get in touch with me.
Yeah, we're going to have the links. We'll have all the links that goes right back to you. So again, I deeply appreciate the time and the conversation. So again, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. And so look, Swerve Nation, we're going to make our way on out of here. But remember, whatever God has for you, it is never in your past. This is Frank for Reals. Y'all swerve.